I will be obviously sharing something today, looking more specifically in terms of our mandates and seeing various places in heaven and engaging various places that those mandates can be received and brought into authorization. And hopefully, you know, after the activation, we might have some time to get some feedback. So in legislation, so far we've really looked at where do we legislate from our mountains, where do we get legislation, and we've seen the Ark of the Presence of God and looking to go into eternity and get a perspective on that. Who helps us legislate? Seven Spirits of God and Wisdom, which is what we looked at last time. And so the whole process is really helping us to come to that place where we begin to govern our own house spiritually, but also any sphere that God's given us, and to begin to operate legally and judicially using the courts of heaven. We're going to follow that process through. And today we'll be looking at a number of these different courts and a number of places in heaven where we can engage and use our mandate or get our mandate authorized in that realm. We looked at the fact this is really important to engage the Ark of the Presence of God, to be able to, in that place, to go in and out, to engage the four faces of God, to go back into eternity, to get an eternal perspective, to come and resonate with God's will for us on a daily basis. The key of engaging what was into what is to establish what will be, you know, will be an ongoing pattern. And you know, I'd encourage you to spend as much time engaging that as you can. One bit of advice I'd get when you're looking to engage eternity, don't try and take your mind there to figure things out. Just allow your spirit to receive, even though you may not understand, your spirit will receive a perspective which will change everything in terms of your life. So last time we saw it's important that we know our heavenly identity, our heavenly position, and our heavenly authority. And you can have various aspects of that, but you need to have all of the three of them working together in agreement, and that will release the provision that is assigned to our position in heaven. So God wants to train us to have insight into the ways of the kingdom, its judicial protocols, the functions of government, how to be legislative. It's wonderful to have intimacy, and the intimacy part of our pathway in terms of relationship is absolutely key and foundational. Everything comes at a rest, but we mustn't stay in that place without actually seeing what flows out of rest, which is always going to be responsibility in the kingdom, being co-heirs. So God wants to us all to be authorized and then accountable for our position. He has appointed a position for us. He has mandated that position with authority. It is a governmental position. It is about sonship and relationship as a co-heir in the kingdom. All of us need specific daily mandates, but there are other mandates other than the daily ones that we can look at. When we engage with being tutored and trained by God, he wants to reveal what it is he wants us to do, how we're supposed to do it, where we're supposed to do it, and when, but also the why. He wants to reveal his heart to us so that we can be involved with him in the process. So a lot of people talk about scrolls, and I know a lot of people want to engage the scroll of destiny, and they want to find out what's on their scroll. So I think it's key to have a little bit of a definition of this. A scroll really is simply a roll of parchment or paper for writing on. A scroll in itself has no special significance. It is what is on the scroll that really matters. So it's important that we engage to find out what God is wanting to reveal to us. Your scroll can be your scroll of destiny. You can have the scroll of life, which they should line up. A scroll could have a mandate attached to it. It could have a blueprint on it. It could have legislation. It could have a law. A scroll has many things attached to it. So it's the actual things that we need to look at. So Hebrews 10:7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. So a key part of engaging any scroll is to find out what God wants us to do with it and what's on it. And so, you know, sometimes I've been asked to take scrolls and place them in my mountain, place them in my spirit, take them to the garden of my heart, plant them. You know, I've been told to do all sorts of things with scrolls. Generally, when you get in the realm of heaven, you know, in Ezekiel it talks about the scroll, and he was asked to eat the scroll. It's receiving it is the key, and there are very symbolic things you can do to receive it. Eat it, place it in your stomach, all sorts of different things like that. But the key is, what is your will, O God? So basically, this is a mandate on a scroll or a book. Yeah, the will of God, what he's authorizing us to do. So a mandate is God's will. Definition, to give someone authority to act in a certain way. So each mandate has a specific action and purpose attached to it. An official order or commission to do something. And God is commissioning us on a daily basis, officially, in terms of the kingdom, him being in terms of king, to engage in kingdom activity. An instruction, a directive, direction, decree, command, order, injunction, edict. Each of them carries with it an understanding, and God can use any of those words or impressions or thoughts to actually communicate to us. We're using mandate, but directive is just as applicable. Now, you can have a scroll with a blueprint. So what is a blueprint? One definition is to draw up a plan or model, to assign a plan or other technical, design a plan or technical drawing. A pattern, map, layout, detailed plan of action. An orderly, step-by-step conception or proposal for accomplishing an objective, a model or prototype. And all those definitions carry an understanding that this gives you what you need to fulfill your mandate. This will show you how and what your mandate should look like. So a blueprint, you have a mandate from God, you receive a blueprint which really gives you a more detailed understanding of what that mandate is. And then when you have a blueprint, then you can receive more mandates to outwork the individual steps that are on that blueprint. So a heavenly blueprint is God's, as an architect, his plan to guide and shape what to build. Each blueprint carries with it and expresses the heart of the vision and values and purpose of the mandate that we have. It can become our motivation and the plumb line, that which we hold everything up against to make sure that it aligns with what God is calling us to do. So we don't get off track, sidetracked, distracted by other things. We keep, you know, in the path that God set. Habakkuk 2:2, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run with it effectively. Now, if we're going to have a blueprint which is to do with an ecclesia or a city of refuge or any particular ministry that involves more than myself as an individual, then we need to communicate that to others. We need to be able to share the vision, cast that vision, carry it in such a way in our hearts that we live it, we breathe it, that people can receive it from us. And to write it out is an important thing to do. So I'd encourage you to take the time to establish things by writing them out so that others can receive it, can read it, can communicate the heart of the vision that you have. Psalm 139:16, in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me. So in essence, God has written a book, and he's inscribed those things so that we can read them and then we can run with it. We can actually then work to outwork and fulfill that which God has ordained. Jesus, in his relationship with the Father, he received a mandate every day. Because he was living in dual realms, that was a constantly flowing process. John 5:19, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. Seeing, meaning perception, which can be visual, audio, impressions, whatever. But whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. So once he received what the Father was doing, then he did it. He was obedient to outwork it. All of us need to be able to engage at that level to know what the Father is calling us to do on a daily basis. So we can engage, discover those daily assignments just as Jesus did, and then he had the authority, the power, everything available to him to outwork and fulfill what God is calling him to do. So there are many blueprints, many different sorts of blueprints, many different mandates. There are daily mandates that will reveal our destiny progressively. Now, a lot of people I've talked to, they want to know, what's my scroll? They want to see it all, and then they'll know what to do. Well, that really is a motivation from the soul in its need to know. I've been there, done that, got the hat and the t-shirt and everything else. What God wants to do is for us to daily engage him in relationship, because if you knew what to do every day before that day arrived, then you wouldn't need to go and ask God. And God wants your relationship so that he can reveal that, and then you can come into it in rest. So your destiny and what God is wanting you to do, he wants you to come and he will unveil it. That's not to say that some things don't have a longer term thing, but each day you still need to understand what is it that you're having to do today. Some mandates are specific, time-limited mandates. It could be do this today, and tomorrow you have not got a mandate to do it again. Others are specific over a period of time. There are ongoing mandates. You know, I have a mandate to do with particular things. It's ongoing. I know I have authority to do it, but I still seek for each area, each day, what I'm supposed to be doing. Some are earthly mandates, are things that we should be doing and outworking here. Some are heavenly mandates, which are very much to do with the things of heaven, operating in particular courts, engaging in certain houses and different things in the realms of heaven. You have authority to do those things. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. And he empowered them to be successful in this mandate. And all of us have this mandate still applicable to our lives. Every one of us is called as a son of God to outwork the kingdom, to bring the earth into its rightful place within God's kingdom. He empowered them, be fruitful. Every one of us has a mandate to be fruitful. Every one of us has a mandate to multiply, to increase. Everyone has a mandate to fill the earth. What we're going to fill the earth with? The kingdom of God that's in us, that's flowing through us. To subdue. So any obstacle, any hindrance, anything that's in the way, we can overcome it. We have the mandate that gives us the authority to overcome it and to rule and to establish God's rule, God's dominion, God's kingdom through our lives into the world to bring the world back into its correct perspective. We're blessed, empowered by God, so we can expect him to give us what we need to succeed and prosper to the highest level in our mandates, and particularly in this mandate. You know, we don't have to seek for anything other than that, what that is, you know, in terms of what we're called to do. We may have specifics, but actually generally we can use this as a basis on which we base our life with God. So there may be mandates for an ecclesia. That may be an ecclesia which is in a particular area. It could be an ecclesia which is gathering people in different ways. You know, there's lots of flexibility depending on what the blueprint is. Because you have a mandate for an ecclesia, to establish an ecclesia, but what is the blueprint? What type of ecclesia? What vision is associated with it? What values are associated with it? It's so important that we get more than that. Could be a mandate for a city of refuge. Now, some city of refuge will be an ecclesia. They have the responsibility as a city of refuge. There may be cities of refuge which are groups of ecclesia joined together in unity, called together for a particular city or area. You know, we have a city of refuge mandate here in this area in which I live. As a church, we are called to be part of that, and we'll respond to that city of refuge mandate, even if no one else will, but our desire is that others would participate so that together we can do things that will fulfill God's purpose. But if people don't want to follow that, then we're going to anyway. So to have the blueprints that show what that a city of refuge or ecclesia looks like is absolutely vital, because you can know that you're called to do something but not know what it is you're called to do, how you're called to do it, what it's supposed to look like, and God wants to reveal the details so that we can see. Every mandate that has a with a blueprint for that ecclesia or city of refuge will have seven mountains attached to it. Same for my own life. You know, there's at least seven mountains attached to all of our lives that are the spheres of government that we're called to outwork. Every ecclesia will have it. Every city of refuge will have it. Those are the mountain spheres. If we have a mandate for something more than my personal life, you know, in me, I am a bench of three, Father, Son, and Spirit in me, connected with me, body, soul, and spirit, coming together in oneness to produce a four, if you like, a window for me to be a flow of that into the earth. But every ecclesia will need a bench of three, a bench of seven, bench of 12, depending on what you're called to do, but there is a governmental aspect to it, and we'll look at that in another session, specifically how you set those up, what they are, what they do, what their functions are. So looking at it from an individual perspective, you know, I am operating in the kingdom of God. I have a throne on a mountain with a scroll. That scroll has a mandate and blueprint, let's say, for something specific for my own life. I operate in lordship in that realm. If I'm operating in the kingdom of heaven realm, I would operate in kingship. So I have seven different areas. They'll all be different for different people, depending on what it is you're called to do. You know, what I found was that once I discovered those seven areas, I found that there were others that I was also engaged in. Some of those were joint things, being part of a bench for a region or a locality or for a church. But it's important to understand, if there is opposition to outworking this, then we need to learn how to remove that. We looked at that when we looked at mountains, how to use the authority of our identity, position of a higher realm of that thing to deal with any opposition within our spheres. Then we can begin to sort of administrate what comes from heaven to earth through us. Once you have access to operate the everlasting doors, then you need to deal with the atmosphere of the earth beneath to see the fullness of that flow come through. So for us as a church, we have a mountain, a freedom mountain. We have our scroll, our blueprint. We have three kings, if you like, as a bench of three who are on that mountain. Our DNA is Luke 4:18 or Isaiah 61, 1-3, which really gives us the basis of what our mountains are. So then those are our seven mountains. We have a good news mountain for transformation. We have a health mountain, freedom mountain, harmony, blessing, media, and enterprise. And each one of those has a bench. So they have three on each of those mountains, and then they will then release the seven mountains associated with each of those areas, and then they will call for benches to be on those mountains. So this is a pattern of heaven which is replicated, but usually you would draw the three kings at the top of the picture and the other mountains beneath it. Well, actually, this is the reflection of heaven, not a copy of it. So we must be foundational and always releasing people and seeing an expansion of God's kingdom. So for us, that's our blueprint. We have a blueprint there which reflects God being center, a bench of three being responsible for the blueprint. We have then a wider sphere where the bench of seven, which we would call our sort of church sphere, that has four guiding visionary principles, which are the red circles there. It operates within the ministry of the four faces of God, which is the green pyramid, and we have specific mountains, seven mountains, and also ministries that we are specifically called to engage the community or wider afield with. Now that's just us. That's what God's given us. We call them our shalom ministries. We're looking to create a place of wholeness and peace and see that grow and expand outwards. That's how God has shown us our blueprint. Some people will get a blueprint which looks visual and a diagram. Some people it will just be a written set of instructions. It doesn't matter so much what it looks like. It's important to have one. So then we have within our framework Adventure 3, Adventure 12, Adventure 7, and Seven Mountains. All of those things are governmental, and you don't start with that. You know, you start off with the basics and begin to see it grow and expand. You know, we didn't have Adventure 12 to begin with, you know, until we saw the all our ministries and what we were called to do, and then began to see how that would work. So be open. For us, this is the sort of a way in which we sort of show how this expands. God is the foundation. The Venture 3 become the foundation that are responsible for the blueprint that God gives. Venture 7, they outwork that within the context of people. We have our seven mountains, which are the spheres of government which operate, and we have our Venture 12, which are Freedom Apostolic Ministries, which is the wider sense of all the things we do governmentally, and it's increasing. Hence the arrows going upwards, and it be starting, in a sense, small, but widening. In a sense, the kingdom starts as a small seed and becomes a great big tree. You know, it's always expanding, God's kingdom. A friend of mine in Maryland, they've been working through this process. This is an ongoing growth thing, but this is a picture of their blueprint. It was a while ago. I'm not sure whether it's growing, but that's how it looked like. And they have a different way of describing what God has shown them to do. And then they have a vision values statements that go with it. And they have those aspects, and they've put these things down so that people can understand what God has called them to do. So this is their way of writing the vision plain so that people can run with it. And I'd encourage everyone to be able to do that. And if you can't produce it and write it down, then it's a matter of really going back to God and asking for clarity so you can do it. So what do we do with the blueprint once we have it? Well, you have to establish foundational government around it. Blueprint without a government is never going to be fulfilled. So it's so important to get a bench. Now, often God gives a blueprint to one person, and that person comes into agreement with God, and that forms an arc between God and that person, and then that releases the authority to start to call for heaven's government to form for that blueprint. And a lot of people start this way. But you could have, let's say, two people in agreement as an arc, and God becomes the third, which establishes government. So some people say, well, we haven't got three, we've only got two. Well, so we'll start with what you've got. If you're in agreement, that forms an arc, and God manifests to produce the third, which produces three of government. If you have three, then God in government, God will then become the fourth, and that will be a window or doorway to release that blessing through. Because God is always involved in every level. You know, this is not something we can do apart from God. It has to be done with God in relationship. So, okay, what do we do with a mandate? We've received a mandate. What do we do with it? Well, engage the four faces of God for a heavenly governmental perspective for that mandate. So we're not just doing things from an earthly perspective, out of memory, out of past experience. We're wanting to get the governmental perspective, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man to help us outwork it. Actually, engage eternity for an eternal perspective on that mandate. How do I frame this mandate from an eternal perspective which isn't tainted by sin, which is going to maybe potentially hinder me in it? Sometimes you need to get something officially recognized. Take it to a court, get it sealed. Then heaven recognizes it, then that releases certain governmental things. Not always, but sometimes, you know, and you'll be led in terms of what you need to do. Use it to frame your day. You know, I use this to frame up how I do everything. And I think we'll probably do a session specifically on framing everything from a perspective that God's given. Administrate it from our mountain. You know, we may have a mandate, but if we don't do anything with it, then we might as well not have it. So we have to administrate it. That means putting it into action, taking actions to enable it to be fulfilled. We do that in heaven before it can be released onto the earth. There are various courts and places that we can go to. The Court of Kings we can go to get, if you're operating in kingship, you can produce legislation there. you know, the Court of the Council of the Fathers, they have authorized me to do certain legislative things. Court of the Upright Men in White Linen, sometimes they get involved in our process. Court of Chancellors, where we can get mandates put into agreement. The Court of Scribes, where they're recorded. There are different courts. Court of Angels, where angels get assigned to our mandate. Court of Strategy or War, where we get information or revelation of what to do with it. Another place to go, and I want to introduce this place to you because I found it a very significant place to engage when it comes to receiving a revelation of what God is calling me to do and a perspective on it. Isaiah 61, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. So this is Isaiah having a vision, seeing and being in that temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings, two covered his face, two feet, and two flew. One called out to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. So that sets the scene of us coming to engage a particular place. Now God asked me to engage this place every day, and I do. And then what happened was, verse 4, the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out. So God is speaking in this place, and he is speaking significantly. The whole thing, you know, there like thunder, and this is a sort of a reminder of Mount Sinai, you know, the glorified voice in fire calling us. Then I said, and this is then the reaction that we have when we're in the presence of God in this way. And this is the reaction that he wants us to have. Then I said, woe is me. I am ruined. Another way of putting it, I am undone, I am unraveled, because I'm a man of unclean lips, I live among a people of unclean lips, so it's talking about his generational line. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. As a result of seeing the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be a reaction. You know, if we see the King, the Lord of hosts, and nothing happens, then something's wrong. And the reaction here was, and for me, I give my heart into this place every day for a deliberate unraveling of my DNA. Verse 6, and then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away. Another version says, purged, and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of him, of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. So every day I come and I place my heart on the altar, and I ask for the unraveling of my DNA, that any generational issues of iniquity, any sin will be purged and dealt with in my life. And then I listen for the voice of God. Is he sending me anywhere? Has he got a mission for me? Has he got a commission for me to outwork? And my response to that would be, here am I, send me. I want to know what it is that God's doing. And I found, for me, this is a place I can certainly engage this in this process. So when I engage the temple, it's letting the fire of the altar purify me, purify the motives of my heart. So when it comes to then when God says, who will go? I'm coming with a pure heart, not looking for brownie points, not looking to earn something from God. I just desire to serve him and to fulfill his purpose. So hearing God's voice, looking for agreement and cooperation with what God's saying, each of us can develop a here am I attitude. Yeah, I'm available. Yeah. Sometimes I've been available when other people have not been available, and I get to do things that actually is designed for somebody else. But I've made myself available, and God knows that he can call on me in those areas. Now, I've found in this place that I've discovered that when I've engaged there, it's like this place has got a dome and walls that have maps or dimensional perspectives, things that I've seen, you know, is that I've fired arrows into maps there. I've seen shifting of boundaries on those maps. Those things we can see. Sometimes they can be released to us there. So let's be open. You know, God may want to give us a demonstration of something or reveal something, which is beyond what I've seen anywhere else. You know, so this is why I want to share this place, the temple, to you, because I believe it's a significant place. Now, you know, the High Chancellor's houses are also a place where things are being agreed and aligned, and things are being released. And one of those houses is the House of Scrolls. It's open, it's come into alignment, and the season is now that the scrolls are being released. These scrolls contain mandates and blueprints. We need to go to that place. You know, I don't know whether everyone's authorized to go there, but I'm going to ask today that Wisdom will take you to the scroll house. There you can receive that scroll. That might be a different sort of scroll. You can go to, let's say we're going to go to the Ark and get a mandate to go to the scroll house. You know, it's like there are different levels of things that are released. The sort of scrolls that God wants to release from the House of Scrolls are scrolls for new governmental positions of authority, for new order ecclesia, for cities of refuge. This is not your, okay, I want you to do this for me today. This is much more of a commission, a call. And when we receive that sort of scroll, we may be given the mandate or the blueprint, but we need to make sure that it's authorized. And so when I receive that type of scroll, or when I've been to the Court of Kings and produced legislation, I take it to the Court of Chancellors. Now, often I sit in the Court of Chancellors and actually pass other people's scrolls and mandates that they come and present. And for when you do that, you may find the cloud of witnesses turn up. They're excited when we start to take this level of responsibility. And it can be a very active place. Once you have it sealed, and they often seal it with they have rings, which seal it with the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man, the governmental perspective fully, it's then authorized. Then you can begin then to follow the process through. You take it to the Court of Scribes. The Court of Scribes essentially has the record of everything. It has the record of everything you've ever done. It has the record of people's lives, the men of white linen, the record of their lives. It has the record of things for your area, loads of records. When you have a scroll and it's authorized, you can take it to the Court of Scribes and they put it onto the statutes. Therefore, heaven recognizes that this has now been authorized, and the angelic realm recognizes it's now authorized, and you there have authority to use it. There are various things you can do with it then. One of them is to take it to the Court of Angels. Often there are angels who will be looking to engage those assignments, because now they recognize the authority, and they will get involved in the process. You can also take it to the Court of War or Strategy to get insight into practical things that you may need to do, or other things you may need to do to bring this into fruition. Those are all sorts of things you can do. You can take it and use it from your throne. Go to your mountain, get on your throne, and start to administrate this mandate. Depending on what it is, you may need to change things on the earth to bring this forth. You may need to shift mountains and move them out of the way because they're obstacles. You know, there are things you may need to do. You may need to call things that be not as if they are, you know, because it doesn't exist yet. And you're called to actually creatively establish it through the words and declarations that you speak and say. So you have authority to use it, use it. So new mantles are being released, new scrolls are being given for new heavenly roles. The earthly authority of the fivefold ministry has been surpassed by a heavenly fivefold ministry. And that doesn't mean fivefold ministry has disappeared from the earth. It just means that the governmental authority that they took for themselves, and God never intended that, has been removed. The ongoing aspect of equipping people, which is what Ephesians 4 talks about, equipping people to be apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, to be able to shepherd, to be able to teach, All those things are there still for those who will equip others, but not in taking government. So the heavenly fivefold things are kings, priests, legislators, oracles, and scribes. And they carry with them a function, and God is calling people into those roles. We're all a kingdom of priests. We're all kings and priests in one sense. We all carry legislative authority. We all can engage in the oracles of God. Not everyone is necessarily a scribe. But often, legislators, oracles, and scribes work together. Sometimes kings, priests, and scribes work together. They tend to work together in threes. But in essence, you know, there may be new things that God's calling you to pursue. Other things like magistrates, judges, chancellors, there are other roles that God is calling people into. We need more chancellors in the realms of heaven. We need more judges, more magistrates. And God is issuing that call, releasing the scrolls, has new mantles of authority for people. So God wants us to engage that. So today we're going to engage the ark, looking for a mandate to go further. We're going to look to also engage the temple to see, you know, how you get on there, to engage wisdom, to see if we can get to the House of Scrolls, and then go through the different courts to get those scrolls brought into a governmental authority so they can be released and we can use them. You may receive a new mandate, you may receive a refreshment, you may receive a blueprint. You know, I'm looking for people to go and be seeking for Ecclesia's City of Refuge blueprints and mandates. So let's look to engage that. Again, what I would encourage you to do is to relax. Don't strive. Don't try and see. Just relax and allow your spirit to engage in the realms of heaven. This is a spiritual activity. Don't try and figure it out on the way. Be free for Jesus to lead you into whatever you need to see, whatever you need to experience. It may be quite symbolic for you in a different way for me, but just be open to receive that perception and to embrace it. So I encourage you to close your eyes if you want to make sure you turn your cameras off just so that you're free behind that, if you feel free in that. I would just encourage you to just activate the eyes of your heart. Just come into a place of peace and rest. Just center your thinking on that open heaven, on the ladder or steps that lead up into that realm, if that helps. Hear the invitation to come up here. And by faith, we just take that step to come through the veil into the realm of the kingdom, into that place, the expanse, the atmosphere, different, changed. Jesus standing in that doorway is the Lord, waiting to receive us. May you want to embrace him. Just sense his presence, his pleasure and joy at your presence. Jesus, we present ourselves to you as our high priest, as a living sacrifice, and ask that you would remove all obstacles, hindrances that will hinder and restrict us today. We choose to engage the cross, exchange the old for the new, stand in robes of righteousness, as beings of light, choosing to surrender our free will to you, that we can say, not my will, but yours be done. I would ask today that you would take each person to that place that they need to go, that they need to experience and encounter, that will help them in the fulfillment of their destiny. Just lead us through the veils. Our desire to serve you, to grow and mature in our heavenly positions. So we come, we stand before your presence, the ark of your presence, to seek your will and your purpose. We open our hearts, ask that you would unveil our destiny, that mandate that you give us. I ask that you will give each person here a mandate to come and receive blueprints, to hear that call, who will go for us, to be open for a mandate for an ecclesia or a city of refuge and a blueprint. So we just stand here in your presence, presence of the four faces of God, standing in your name. So just be open and sensitive to receive something that authorizes you for this journey today. Now, as we've received an authorization, I ask, Jesus, that you would lead us to come into the temple of your presence, to come before the altar of fire, that we would present our hearts on the altar, that you would unravel us. Let the fire of the seraphim, the burning ones, just purify our hearts, our motives, our desires, so we can embrace your call. Fire from that altar, purify our hearts, refine us. Let our hearts be changed, renewed. Lord, I ask that you would issue that call to each person. May we respond with a, here am I, send me. Just be open to see if there's any revelation within this place revealed as pictures or maps or instruction. Now, I just ask that you would lead us through the doorways of heaven to engage with wisdom's heights, with wisdom's pillars. And I would ask, wisdom, in your role towards the sons of men, that you would authorize us to engage in the House of Scrolls, in the High Chancellor's house, that wisdom would just begin again to take us, maybe through portals or doorways, but to come to the door of the House of Scrolls, to authorize the opening of that door as we enter in. Just be open to engage with a scroll, maybe a new mandate for a new position of authority, maybe a blueprint for your mandate, perhaps for an Ecclesia, City of Refuge. Just be open to engage this place. Angels may come and release things to you or give you new scrolls. Just be open to receive them. Now what you receive, be willing to take it into your heart, be led to what to do with it, but ask wisdom that you would now take us through this process of establishing this mandate in our lives. Take us again from this place to the Chancellor's Court. You would authorizing the opening of the court, and as you come, present your scroll to the court, to the bench. There may be men in white linen who are excited about your accepting this commission, who come around. Just be sensitive to what's going on. as you present your scroll to the Chancellors. They may give you some direction or just seal it, Lion, Ox, Eagle Man. I would ask wisdom to lead us, take your sealed scroll. We would come to the scribe's court, present your scroll to the scribes, allow them to put it into record, that heaven recognizes that is now on the statutes that you're authorized in this position to outwork this blueprint. Whilst in that court, you may feel that you want to engage a particular scroll of a person or a place or even your destiny. Just allow your spirit to guide you in this place. Just be open to take your mandate. You may feel led to engage the court of angels to present your scroll there, or perhaps get angelic assignments to your scroll, or engage the court of war or strategy to present your scroll there for wisdom and insight, or perhaps even go in taking it to your mountain, to your throne, where you can begin to release the authority given. Just be led to any of those places. As you take your scroll to your mountain, the angelic canopy recognizes this mandate, is around you. And as you're on that mountain, begin to administrate your mandate. You can use it to decree, declare, call forth, move mountains, release the favor and blessing of God, frame your life, bringing the decrees of heaven into place. Use the authority that you have received, meaning to call things that be not as if they are. Take authority, change situations, still storms. Just spend some time from your heavenly perspective administrating into your spheres of government. As always, I would encourage you to everything that you've received, all that you've experienced, take it as a testimony, plant it in the garden of your heart so it can be anchored in your memory, becomes a doorway as it produces fruit. You can re-engage. So you practice this pathway, developing this pathway in your own life, daily engaging to see what the Father is doing, developing an attitude of here I am, send me. You may feel you just want to stay in that place and continue engaging, or if you feel you've got questions to ask or testimony to share, and just prepare to shift your focus from that realm back into this realm.